Our study tonight is out of Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, nurture and applying Christ's supremacy and all sufficiency by prayer to the angelic conflict. Paul's call for the believer to focus on his positional certainties in Jesus Christ in the heavens to offset trials that he faces from evil pressures on the earth, as Colossians 3, 1 to 4 with its Colossians 2, 1 to 23 context teaches, becomes pointedly significant when considering the believer's incessant involvement in the angelic conflict. I put down Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. You'll remember that passage talks about the fact that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power. Anytime there's a wrestling that goes on, there's a struggle. There's often angelic conflict issues involved. So according to Colossians chapter 4, 1, 2 to 4, in light of the rest of Scripture's context on this subject, gives tremendous instruction on applying Christ's supremacy and his all-sufficiency by prayer for victory in this conflict as follows. I'd like to look at the passage and then we'll discuss it. I'd like to read it first and then we'll look at it. Colossians chapter 4, 2 through 4. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now the Colossians chapter 4, 2-4 instruction on prayer focuses heavily on the need for prayer due to the angelic conflict. To be honest with you, I didn't realize this. When I started to study the passage, I thought it was just going to deal with prayer in general. But when I got to looking at the way the words are formed here and the phrases that Paul uses in view of the rest of Scripture, he's definitely talking about angelic conflict. Now, we who lived here in New England face a relatively higher degree of angelic conflict than in many other parts of the country. Before I came to Nepaug Bible Church to be its pastor, Dr. Dwight Pentecost is a wonderful man of God. He was our pastor, and he was also a seminary professor at Dallas Seminary. He talked to my wife and me, and he said that, I want you to know that you're going into an area that is fairly heavy in regards to angelic conflict. He said, whenever I have meetings up here in the Northeast, whenever I get on the Merritt Parkway, I immediately notice an oppression that comes over me, and it's there until I leave the area. So we know that there is this kind of a problem, and so we, of all people, need to be very aware of the angelic conflict and how to handle it. So Paul called for believers to continue in prayer and to watch in the same in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. And that recalls Christ's directives to his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 26, verses 40 to 41. There he urged his disciples to watch with him for at least an hour and to pray that they not enter into temptation. Temptation, of course, being the lure to abandon Christ at his arrest in the garden due to the work of Satan through Judas to betray Jesus to the religious leaders. You'll remember John 13, 26 to 30, that tells us that Satan entered into Judas and he went out to betray Jesus. And so in Matthew 26, 43 to 46, Jesus was encouraging his disciples to watch for the temptation that Satan was going to bring them to abandon Christ and to leave, of course, which would be a wrong thing. It would be faithlessness in the Lord. Also, in the unusually similar and thus sister epistle of Colossians, that of Ephesians, Paul asked for prayer to utter the gospel boldly as he needed to do in the context of discussing the believer's armor for the angelic conflict. So this request is similarly made in Colossians chapter 4, 3 and 4, the passage that we're now studying. So, Colossians 4, 2-4, in view of Colossians 3, 1-4, and Colossians 2, 1-23, instructs the believer on applying Christ's supremacy and his all-sufficiency by prayer for overcoming in the angelic conflict as follows. It's a wonderful thing to know that even though Satan and Satan's emissaries are much more powerful than we're just human beings, we have a Savior who is enthroned in the heavens above all of these spirit beings, good spirits, bad spirits, you name it, every name that is named. And so we can avail ourselves of our wonderful Savior who is in heaven to be of help to us. So, relying on the indwelling Holy Spirit, as Galatians 5:16 teaches us, the believer should focus on his heavenly position in Christ, that's Colossians 3:1-4 in the context, who is seated high above all angelic forces, according to the sister epistle in Ephesians 1:20 and 21, to be busily engaged with, or in, it's a dative of prepositional phrase that is used here, in prayer. The angelic conflict rages around the believer on a continual basis, so prayer in regard to this conflict must be a constant practice and consistent practice in our lives. This is why many times we're taken off guard by something that happens and we're hurt or frustrated to something. We haven't been paying attention to the angelic conflict. And we need to be aware of the fact that you always have emissaries from Satan, demons and so forth, who are looking out for opportunities to trip us up, to get us to fall for temptation, to maybe attack us on a frontal attack, or to lure us by the world and so forth. It's always there. And it's something that we need to watch out for. Well, Colossians 4:2 adds that the believer must watch, the Greek word is gregoreo, in prayer. And that recalls Christ's admonition in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26:40-41, where the same Greek word for watch is used, gregoreo, meaning the believer must constantly pay attention to the events that he faces in his life to detect Satan's movements so as to intercept them by intercessory prayer for God's aid in overcoming Satan's temptation. If we're constantly watching out for the movement of the evil one and we're aware of his movements and aware of things that he likes to do, he always tests in reference to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, just as he tempted Eve in the garden. That's how he tempts today. He's always working in one of those three realms. If we watch out for that, then we're going to be safe and watch in reference to prayer. Now, this constant prayer with watchfulness is to be accompanied by thanksgiving for God's help, according to verse 2. Since the believer's ultimate function is to be a witness to a world of darkness that is controlled by Satan, Paul asked for intercessory prayer for God to provide the opportunity to proclaim the gospel. For it would take God's power to invade the domain of Satan, the god of this world, who has blinded the minds of the lost, lest they should believe. You'll remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul said that the god of this world, and that's a reference to Satan, has blinded the eyes of those who do not believe, lest they should believe the gospel and be saved. If Satan has blinded the eyes of people that we're supposed to witness to, we need supernatural help in witnessing. This is a big, big area of need in Christian circles. A lot of times Christians try to witness and they fall on their face or something comes up and that just doesn't work out well. They don't realize they're dealing with angelic conflict issues. Satan has blinded the mind of the unsaved. So what we need is God's help. We need to be in prayer before witnessing. We need to be in prayer for opportunities to open up to us for witnessing. And we need to be praying to the Lord in the process so that we say the right words, that we don't go overboard. This is extremely important. I can't emphasize it enough. We need help. Now, this request was especially pertinent in Paul's case as he wrote this epistle in bondage in his first Roman imprisonment. You'll notice he says in verse 3, "For which I am also in bonds." And since Paul was in bondage, he realized that enemies of the gospel under Satan's influence had caused him to be imprisoned and thus inhibited from proclaiming the gospel openly as a liberated man. I put down Acts 21:27 to Acts 28:31 because that records how the apostle Paul was maligned and therefore he was arrested at the temple of Jerusalem. And he was sent on his way and he had to go to Rome and he was in his prison house there in Rome. He was inhibited from presenting the gospel in the situation. Now the Lord worked it out so that he could witness in front of Agrippa and other kings, Felix and so forth. But nevertheless, this was a situation that had been created because of satanic opposition. So he requested prayer for an open door to evangelize. Now, Paul also noted his need to make the gospel plain or clear. Phane rao is the Greek word. So he added to his request for prayer for the opportunity to evangelize the petition for the power and the wisdom from God to make the gospel clearly understood as was necessary in his ministry, Colossians 4:4, that I may make it clear as I ought to speak. Many times I have someone, a Christian, come to me and ask me, Pastor, I'm having problems getting through to this person, getting the gospel to them. How can I make it clear? How can you do this? And I'll give them practical advice, but ultimately you have to rely on the Lord. The Lord has to give us the words because we're dealing with a mind here that has been blinded by Satan. We've got to keep this in mind. Any unsaved person that we're meeting and we're trying to witness to them, their mind has been controlled by Satan, and we can't break through that. God can. So what we need is to rely on God. When we are in the process of witnessing, like the Apostle Paul, who was the greatest missionary in the history of the church, we need to be dependent on God because we cannot do it. Only God can break through the forces of Satan. So the lesson is, since we believers regularly face satanic opposition in our lives and God-assigned ministries, we must appeal to our supreme and our all-sufficient Savior, who sits in the heavens enthroned above all evil spirits, to pray continually, watching for angelic conflict threats so as to avoid temptation to sin that would mar our holiness and hamper our ministry productivity, with the focus on our need for ministry opportunities and effective efforts in them. So may we apply Christ's supremacy and his all-sufficiency to the challenges we face in the angelic conflict by practicing continual, watchful prayer for effective spiritual victory in our personal lives and ministries. Like I said, as I was going to prepare this passage, I thought initially it was just going to be about prayer in general. And when I got into it, I was actually surprised to see he was talking about the angelic conflict. But I realized that the Lord was applying this in my life because there was an issue at the time that had been on my mind, that I realized that the evil one was at work trying to trip me up in regards to this situation. And I realized I have to be in prayer. I have to be dependent upon the Lord to handle this situation. So I'm so grateful to the Lord for this particular passage that just happened to come my way. So many times, the messages of Sunday night or the Wednesday night prayer meeting, some of our least attended messages, those are the messages that the Lord hammers home to my heart the most effective, the ones that I need the most. And I'm very grateful to the Lord for this passage that he gave. And hopefully I'll remember it and be able to use it to deal with the many times that we face angelic conflicts.